The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. With so much drama in the news.
I hate drama, so there you go.
You love drama.
I know, I do, right?
This is a drama-free zone. It's news-ish on The Wally Show.
Emily King is a young mom of a little girl, and like most moms, she wants to make her child's first birthday special. All moms do.
Absolutely.
So she got busy party planning and decided the best way to invite all the people she wanted to invite was through an Evite. I think most of us have been there.
I just got one from Gavin for a baby shower.
It's a digital party invitation. So she gets the invite looking just the way she wants it. And before sending it out, the site asks if she would like to import all the contacts she already has stored in her phone. And she's thinking,
I'll just pick from there.
It's a helpful tool so she can go through all her contacts and select which ones she wants to send the invite to. Well, it turns out that wasn't the case. When she selected import, the site immediately uploaded all 487 of her contacts and sent all of them an invite. But it gets worse.
Not only did it invite my boss, all of my coworkers, all of the people that have ever been stored in my phone, but it sent an invitation based off of how they're stored in my phone. Derek Tyrell, he received an invitation. Jess hit her car in parking lot.
That's just evil. Like on Evite's part, I think that is just wrong.
There needs to be a warning before you do that. So this got me to thinking, you know, if this happened to you, let's say that you were in this situation and Evite imported all your contacts and sent an invite to them, what would be the craziest label that you have in your contacts on your phone?
I just found one real quick. Ben, flea market pallet and flywheel guy. It's a guy I used to buy flywheels and pallets from at a flea market.
Ben, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
good
the
old
most
Ben.
Interesting one I had was Tyler's dad and
Know his name?
I don't have a friend named Tyler. I don't know.
I always love when my car will read a text from my daughter because it will say, Buggy, cat face, penguin, ladybug, because I have emojis with hers. Uh-huh. And so it always says she has to say. And then I have Gavin down as Tinkle King.
No, you
Gavin
don't.
Tinkle
Show
King.
Me that now. No, you don't. Change it.
I like that.
Guilt is one of those things we all have from time to time, but sometimes maybe we don't need to. Hey, it's the Wally Show on Uplifting Way FM. I was recently at a funeral, and it was my brother-in-law, and I hadn't seen my daughter since Christmas. And so my daughter had come in, and I was late because I had to travel, and it took me forever to get there. And I walk into the funeral late, and my daughter sees me. It was kind of a party thing. And so my daughter sees me from across the room, comes bolting, Daddy! Runs over and just wraps me in this huge hug, which I'm like elated. I'm like, she's 25 and still likes me. I didn't damage her. Like, this is really good. And so I'm hugging her.
Can I have some money?
Yeah. She did lift my wallet, which was weird. And so, like, I'm sitting there hugging her, and then all of a sudden this guilt hits me. Because I look just to my left, and there's a lady I haven't seen in a lot of years, and her name's Becky, and she was one of my wife's closest friends because her daughter was my daughter's best friend all through elementary school, up through they graduated. But her daughter was killed in a car accident years ago. Mm-hmm. And as Haley is just hugging me and loving me, I'm looking at Becky, and no reason to feel guilt, but I felt so guilty in that moment because I knew she would want to have that moment with her daughter. She would give anything to have that moment with her daughter. And she never said anything. She didn't even have a weird look on her face. Like, it had nothing to do with her whatsoever. But I just, in that moment, felt so guilty. And it's like, I'm like, I just pushed Haley away from me. I said, stop it.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. But I get it. I get why you would feel that guilt. Yeah. But also, like you said, there's no reason to feel guilty. And I don't think Becky would want you to feel guilty.
You're exactly right. She's like this amazing, godly woman. She would never, ever want that. But I did, you know. And so that's kind of what I want to discuss with you. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's the number. If you put that in your phone, sometimes you can get through faster because the phone lines will get busy sometimes. But I'm curious, what was a time that you really felt guilty about something, but as you thought about it, you're like, oh, I actually don't have a reason to feel guilty. I don't need to feel guilty, but I do, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious what your story is kind of in this same vein. 855-33-WAY-FM is the number if you want to be on the show with us now. So, Nathan, what's a time that you felt guilty that you really didn't need to, but you did?
I'm a high school baseball player, and very, like, important situation. And my friend gets up to bat, and we're all like, oh, we need him to get a hit here. We need him to do this. And I was like, I kind of hope he gets hit so he can get on base.
Because we know he's not a great hitter. He's going to strike out,
exactly.
And he's going to hose us all. Lean into it, pal!
Exactly. And then next pitch, he gets hit right in the nose.
Oh, wow.
Broke the bridge of his nose, his cheekbone. And I go over, I'm like, I feel so guilty. I feel so bad about this. Like, I don't want to say I jinxed it, but I called it. It was horrible. And the worst part is, on Saturday, we had our senior prom, and he had the put on, like, makeup and everything. All of his face was all black and blue.
Oh, because you know there's no way that you caused that just by having that thought.
Yeah.
In your soul, you know that. Yeah. But you do. You definitely feel guilty, man. And it's not like he took it in the arm or anything. Getting hit square in the face, that's brutal.
And don't take this personal, Nathan, but while I know you didn't cause the hit, I don't want you wishing me any ill will, okay?
Yeah, keep Betty's name out of your mouth.
Don't even think about me. Don't even talk about me.
Have you ever been in that situation?
I have heard a lot of friends that struggle with infertility or miscarriages, and I feel for them. My heart breaks for them every time, but we didn't have to go through that, and it would make me feel guilty that I didn't share that journey with them.
Yeah, because you feel bad about talking about how happy you are sometimes around certain people, especially if they've struggled with it for years, and you're like, oh, we didn't have any problems whatsoever.
No, we had two, and it just happened very easily for both, and my heart just breaks for the woman that it doesn't.
And most of your friends, they don't want you to walk on eggshells around them, you know, and they want to be happy for you, but then sometimes they don't want to be around it, though, either, and they'll kind of pull themselves out of the situation, because we've had that with some friends of ours, and it's definitely a tricky thing to navigate your joy amidst their sadness.
Yeah, absolutely. A hard thing to sometimes empathize with if you've never been through it yourself.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and it seems like the entire world is a bit anxious and worried, but we're called to be different, set apart, holy, and that's tough as believers. Like, so should you worry? I mean, sure, there are a lot of things in the world to worry about. War, recession, job, kids, cicadas. I mean, a lot of people talk about cicadas. Gavin, I think, is terrified of cicadas.
I mean, and rightfully so. They are huge. I mean, they're like little They're just going to hit you.
They're
like bombs.
They're devil bugs, man.
They're horrible, like, and they're ugly.
Yeah, I know. But what does Jesus say about worry? Like, in his Sermon on the Mount, he's pretty clear. He says it plainly. He says, don't worry. You're like, oh, okay, that's good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Lord. Gotcha. But like he says, can any of you add a single hour to your life by worrying? Don't worry about what you will eat, what you will wear. The pagans chase these things. I thought that was really interesting, is he compares like the people that don't believe as, you know, worrying about these things because, well, they should worry about these things because they don't have God, and God will ease your worries in these things.
Yeah, because when we're worrying, we're saying that God is smaller than our problems.
Well, that's interesting you say that because our pastor said something. He goes, worry is practical atheism because you're basically saying when you worry about stuff, you're saying that the problem is so big that it's almost like God isn't there and he's not capable of handling it or he doesn't care.
Yeah, and you think about it too, like if you had a kid and you were always looking out for them and always taking care of them, but they keep doubting you over over and over and over, you'd be like, come on.
Enough, kid. Now, he did distinguish the difference between worry and concern. He's like, yeah, you can be concerned about things. Like, you got a big presentation coming up, and you got to get prepared. You want to be concerned about it, or your kids and things like that. But it's kind of like a difference. Like, concern is more temporary, and it's usually more specific about something, and then worry tends to bleed into all these other areas of your life and cause you to alter your life.
Yeah, what I've heard is worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair and you're going nowhere, where concern is actually taking some responsibility, taking some action and actually doing what you can.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, man, when you get this concept, and I get it and then I don't, I get it and then I don't. I'm not the smartest. but like the times where I do go, all right, God, you got this. I mean, I'm done. It's so freeing laying your fears at the feet of Jesus, you know, but it's the most difficult, simplest thing to do. It's so easy, but it's so hard. Mm-hmm. And we got to humble ourselves and give him control. And I think that's where I struggle with. It's control.
Control. Yeah, I think a lot of us do.
Yeah. And so, like, I always like turning a negative into a positive. And I really loved what our pastor had to say. He said, excessive worry is an opportunity to trust God. So you've got this big worry in your life, and it seems big and it's excessive. Well, flip that script and use it as an opportunity to say, all right, God, I'm going to trust you now with this and see how it works out for you. Uplifting Way FM, it's the Wally Show. Who's this?
This is Chris. How are you?
I'm good. What's up, Chris?
Hey, I just wanted to just call you real quick and just encourage you. Like, on the way to work this morning, and you're discussing and talking about worry and all of that, is like literally what like I needed to hear right now in this very moment. We're dealing with some things, and trusting God to just help us through it. And it was so perfect timing. So just thank you for that word this morning.
Dude, here's what I love, okay? Here's the backstory of that segment. I've had that segment since Monday that I've wanted to do. And each day something would come up and we'd push it off and we'd push it off. We'd go, oh, we'll do it tomorrow. We can move this here. But today was the day that it worked out that we could talk about that here. So this is the part of this that I love. Like, I believe that that's that God moment for you, you know? And it's like,
man,
why did it get pushed? Why did it get pushed so many times so that you could be here at this moment to hear today? And I mean, we're just idiots doing this job, but God orchestrates things in a really cool way. So I'm so glad you got to hear that today.
Yeah, just the conviction that came from that. I was like, I could have called you or not called you, but I'm like, you know what? Like, if I'm going to lay this truly at God, you know, at his feet and let him take control, then also need to call and encourage you and let you know that it was the perfect time to share that.
Well, Chris, I appreciate that, man. Thank you very much, and I hope that the situation will get resolved and you guys will be good.
I appreciate it, Walt. You have a great day, bud.
Hey, see you, pal. Betty's love of crime shows has me concerned because I think that she's not learning how to protect herself, but rather how to set me up for a crime.
Oh, I for sure am.
It's a Gone Girl situation is what I'm thinking.
I'm glad I've got you right where I want you.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. You know, you need someone in your life that will set you up for success, not failure.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I felt with CCU. I mean, I felt intimidated considering going back to school as an adult after being out for so long, but I was set up for success with CCU from my first conversation all the way to graduation. Most classes are only 5 weeks long, which means you can earn your degree and still have time to do whatever you want.
Yeah, 5 week classes, that's even good for people with like ADHD. Like for
like
me, I know I needed short classes so I could focus when I went back to school because Betty Rock and I kind of lived the same life.
Find out more about how you can pursue your passion and find your calling with Colorado Christian University at online.ccu.edu. Colorado Christian University is a nonprofit impact partner.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And the other day, we were talking about those things that you had to go to, but you didn't want to go, but then afterwards you were glad you went. That was the case for me with my buddy Gabe's funeral. I went to it yesterday, and it was 2.5 hours long. Didn't feel like it. It went by so fast, but there were so many people that talked about how much they loved Gabe and what a godly man he was. And I loved one of the people that was speaking was like, and it's nice to be, I think it was Toby, was saying it was nice to be, because Gabe was Toby's hype man and worked with him for years, you know. And so he said it was nice to be at a place where we're not having to stretch the truth about somebody because they didn't live their life all that great. So you find those couple nuggets, you know, and it's like just everything about Gabe was down the line godly and just joy, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it was hard. Like, I, my eyes still burn. I cried so much, man. And every time I'd think I'd have it back together, there'd be my wife handing me another tissue. I went through a little packet of them. But at the end, outside of the tears, there were so many people sharing about joy. And that's what I loved. And the funny thing is he, this would have been the funeral you would thought for someone like Toby, like CeCe Winans is there singing, Matt Maher, Michael Tate from the Newsboys, Chris Tomlin. And it's, what's funny is that Gabe never put himself in the spotlight. He was always Toby's right-hand man. And, you know, and Toby said he was like, he was my right, but he was never, but he was always equal. You know, like he said, I've known him for so many years and I thought I was supposed to be his mentor, but there was a point at which it shifted and he became the teacher, you know, and especially about faith and stuff.
What huge. A legacy to leave.
Absolutely, man. I'm getting choked up thinking about it, but like it was really cool. And it was nice too, because there were like funny moments, like people sharing, because Gabe was just joy, you know? And it was funny because Michael Tate from the Newsboys and I were talking afterwards and we were both like, this just sucks, man. Like, it's just, it's horrible. And I look at Michael and I go, yeah, we were all talking over there and we were like, why couldn't it have been Michael Tate? And he just gut laughs in the middle of this thing. And it was the weird sense of humor like we all had and that Gabe had, you know? And it was just, it was so cool. But so my takeaway though was, everybody to a person that spoke about Gabe, including myself, they asked me to do a thing at the end. And like, we all talked about how Gabe was our best friend. And like, he made us feel like our best friend, like instantly. And so you hear all these stories, you're like, wow, he kind of was cheating on me in the best friend area. But like, that was the magic of Gabe. He made everyone feel like they were the only one. He was an encourager to people. Like, you walked out of hanging out with Gabe thinking you could do anything in this world. Like, that's the kind of people that I want to be around. And it's the kind of person I want to be, you know? And so I was thinking about this whole thing, and I wanted to have a conversation about this. And like, what is that lesson you learned from a funeral? Like, the really hard thing that you didn't maybe want to do, but you took away something really good from it. And for me, that was make everyone feel like they're the only one. And I'm like, that is a great way to live life. And you'll have 100, 500 or more people showing up at your funeral as well when you live like that, you know? So 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. I'd love to hear your thought on that. You went to a funeral and you had a really cool takeaway as a result. So we'll take yours now. 855-33-WAY-FM. So what is something that you actually learned from a funeral, Sam?
5.5 years ago, my sister passed away. And what I took away from that was, like, life is so worth living. And she was full of life. And when she loved big, she loved big. And when she hated hard, she hated hard. But
I like your sister, for the record, because that's kind of how I'm wired.
Yeah, she had a really rough life. And she went through, like, 2 drug comas and came out of one, but the second one she didn't come out of. And there was a time when she was living with me and my husband and my kids. I was driving down the road and she had just given her life to Jesus, and we pulled off to a light and she saw a homeless person standing there, and she was like, hold on, I gotta get out. And I'm like, what is going on? She like jumps out of the car, wraps her arms around this homeless person. I mean, he is like dirty head to toe, and she just looked into his eyes and says, Jesus loves you. I know what you're going through and I'm so sorry, but keep fighting. Jesus is for you. And like, she had no money on her and she was like digging in her pockets, pulling out any dollars she had and coins, like putting them in, and kisses his hands and looks him in his eyes and says, you're worth it. She jumps back in my car and I'm like just shocked. I'm like, what is happening? Because I've never seen anything like this. And she gets in my car and she goes, oh man, he is an amazing child of God. And we just drive off.
And she had her own struggles, obviously, going on, you know, but she still could love despite not being perfect. I think that's, we all think we got to be perfect to love well. That's not the case. We can love well. We can love big, even in our imperfection.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what was that thing, Candace, from a funeral that you took away that you're like, this is something I want to always remember?
I went to a funeral one time for someone that I didn't care for that had pained me a lot through a loved one. And this person did profess to be a Christian, but they had a very, very strong battle that I do not understand because it's not my battle. But going to this funeral, I was able to find forgiveness for that person and the revelation of, you know, we judge people way differently than God does. And I actually left that funeral with peace.
Yeah, sometimes when you get a little more information or insight into somebody, it helps you create a little bit of empathy for maybe why they were the way they were. If you see them that way, you see them a little bit differently. And I guess that's kind of seeing them through the eyes of Jesus.
Exactly.
What did you learn from being at a funeral? What was your takeaway that served you well?
So we attended a funeral of some dear friends of ours that had to say goodbye to their son way too soon. He was only 5 years old.
Oof.
And with the church packed out and 1,200 people and, you know, all the emotions that are part of that, our dear friend, the mom, stood up and was just praising the Lord during the worship. And with hands lifted high, she's just got this joy on her face. And I remember asking her about a week later when we were at her home and just, you know, bringing meals and trying to support them. I said, Tracy, how can you lay your child to rest and say goodbye to him at 5 years old and have so much joy? And she said, Christina, when we dedicated our son to the Lord, we meant it. And we knew that God had a bigger plan for our lives and for his life. And so as much as it hurts and as awful as it is, I know that God gave us that child to help bring more people to Jesus. And through her witness, we know of dozens of people, her and her husband's witness. We know of dozens of people that came to the Lord.
That's the thing. God's math is so much different than ours. Like, you know, he's like, I leave the 99 to go get the one. And worst loss that we experience, God sees it as gain when people come to him. And I think that that's a healthy perspective, but it's not always an easy one.
And I always think about that, you know, anytime I worry about my kids or I worry about, you know, God's plans or what their plans for their life, I always think, no, we dedicated these children to the Lord. And he has a plan for their life, and we have to trust that, even if it doesn't look like our plan for their life, because it rarely does.
Okay, stay close. Let's go.
Good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters April 26th.
But look around you, David. Your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime.
There's no food, and we're almost out of money.
We need to make some changes. Kids, we need your help.
It's a powerful true story that circles around miracles and about a family uniting and growing in their faith, facing the impossible together.
It's going to be dangerous and scary. It's going to be so hard that you want to go back.
The movie also features our brand new song, Unsung Hero.
You're an unsung hero. So I'll sing this song for you.
Giving up, it's not an option.
In theaters beginning April 26th, join us in making opening night a family day at the theaters.
It's today's Music Insider with Gavin.
TMI, my friends.
If you are an exercise enthusiast who owns a Peloton, whether it's their bike, treadmill, the rowing machine, and you just love the classes they offer while also loving Christian music, then you might want to take a look into the Lauren Daigle series that Peloton launched a few days ago. So just explain this. If Peloton subscribers will have access to 4 stretches and workouts where a Peloton coach will be guiding you through a normal workout, but the music accompanying the workout will be Lauren Daigle, some old and some new music.
This is the song that cranks up when you're like working at the top of the hill, like, come on, Peloton, let's go, let's go, let's dig, turn it up to 8, let's go.
Yeah, this song makes sense,
yeah.
But she, to me, I've heard all her slow songs,
yeah.
And to me, that would be hard to exercise to if she's just singing
a
ballad.
Are you kidding? That would be the best exercise.
Oh,
all right, everybody,
go
let's go at 1, pace of 1, you know, that's my kind of exercise
sales
class.
Pace.
I'll sign up for that before I'll sign up for a Toby class any day. Toby will kill me.
But I do like just seeing, you know, a Christian artist into this realm. And so I'll explain. train. So there's, again, four workouts. You have a 15-minute Lauren Daigle-inspired full body stretch, a 30-minute bicycle ride, a 20-minute walk again. I love that walking is working out.
I do too.
And then a 20-minute rowing session as well. And again, to clarify, Lauren Daigle herself will not be the actual instructor
right.
for these classes. You'll have a Peloton professional doing the class, but then you will, again, hear all of that music in the background.
It's funny because I saw a video that they were doing to promote it, and so you've got this Peloton lady singing Lauren Daigle song, and she's singing it live while on the Peloton. I'm like, oh, she's a little pitchy. That's close.
Oh, no.
And then I look, and then they pan out, and it's Lauren Daigle singing it. The girl was just lip syncing it. I'm like, okay, missed a couple there. Come on, Lauren, let's go.
but it'll be like, you know, her radio tracks.
Yeah,
her
exactly. Professionally. Well, it's hard to sing and ride. I get it. I mean, I can't talk. If I'm on a bike, I can't even talk to you. I'm like,
I can't talk after I walk up one flight of stairs.
I have seen that. We've moved all the meetings downstairs for Gavin so he can participate.
Hey, whoa.
All right, that's going to do it for your TMI.
We've never claimed he was the brightest bulb.
At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
It's the Wally Show with Smarter Than a Jock.
Smarter Than a Jock is brought to you by Colorado Christian University, where the student has become the teacher. Betty Rock graduated there with 2 degrees.
Yeah, I did.
Psychology, and what was the other one?
What? Healthcare what? Administration. Oh, I got it.
Well, it's just because she's using the psychology degree every day with me, and in about 10 years, she'll be using the healthcare administration with me. So that one's on the back burner. Mm-hmm. But today, she becomes the proctor. She will be administering the quiz for us.
Yeah, what I like to do is pull some questions of things that typically an elementary school student or maybe a junior high student would know. So you should know the answer to these questions.
You should, but the thing is about being an adult, you get so far away from the things that you had to learn
things.
In school. You forget. Yeah, I mean, and it's things you know you should know, but you're like, why don't I know this?
Well, I'll give you some of the categories. Okay. Spelling. That's always one of my favorites
death.
For you.
Always death.
Yes.
Presidents.
It's also death.
You're
math.
Good at those.
Nope.
Reading and authors.
I'm dyslexic. Great.
And then science.
Science was the only class I did well in high school.
Surprising.
Yeah, it was, but it wasn't the advanced science like chemistry because chemistry involved math. But like the earth sciences, biology, anatomy, that kind of stuff, like memorization things.
So then maybe you should ask for that question.
I will ask for that right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I want to get
if
one,
you get
right?
A chance. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, if you want to take me on, good luck because I'm feeling good. I got a lot of coffee in me. I'm amped up. I'm ready to go. 855-33-WAY-FM. You got to be smarter than a jock here. Good luck to you. 855-33-WAY-FM. If you want to play Smarter Than a Jock, brought to you by Colorado Christian University right now.
We've never claimed he was the sharpest tool in the shed.
I am the smartest man alive!
Or the most absorbent sponge in the sink. It's the Wally Show with Smarter Than a Jock.
Samantha, welcome to Smarter Than a Jock, brought to you by Colorado Christian University, where you have an impossible task standing before you today. You have to get past the veritable mind trap that is Wally, okay? So, actually, veritable mind trap doesn't mean anything. So maybe you're going to do better than we think. So, Samantha, Betty Rock is going to give us some questions. If you get more questions right than me, you will win a prize.
Since ladies go first, Samantha, I'm going to let you choose which question you would like to take on. I have a question in spelling, one in presidents, one in math, one in reading and authors, and another in science. Which one would you like to take on?
Science.
Science.
See,
okay.
She took mine, the only one I would have got.
Now, here's how it's going to work. Name is your buzzer. So if you think you know the answer, what do you say?
My name?
Yes.
Yes, but you say Samantha.
Okay.
Okay. All right, here's
I'm
the
feeling better about this,
yeah,
by the way.
Right. Okay, here's the science question. What is the name of the gas that makes up 78% of the air we breathe?
Wally.
Oh.
Samantha.
Okay.
Uh-oh,
Wally
a little late
went
Samantha.
First.
Hydrogen.
That is incorrect.
Nuts, I took a guess.
All right, so Samantha, here are your options. Oxygen, nitrogen, argon, or carbon dioxide?
Carbon dioxide.
No.
That is incorrect.
It's nitrogen.
It is nitrogen.
No, I knew it wasn't oxygen. Oxygen feels like the obvious, but I couldn't remember.
Okay, so Wally, you get to choose. Reading
right.
An author,
nope.
Math, presidents, or spelling?
Oh, gee. Let's go reading an author. Just maybe I'll get lucky.
Okay. Name is your buzzer. The Grapes of Wrath is a popular reading homework assignment for many school-aged children.
I never read it.
Who is the author of this novel? Is it A, John Steinbeck, B, Charles Dickens, or C, Ray Bradbury?
A.
Samantha.
Wally.
Oh, oh yes!
Okay, Samantha, because you said your name. No! What is it?
C.
Oh, she's so wrong! It's not Ray Bradbury. There's no way! It's A.
John Steinbeck?
Yes!
Wally, you were right.
Yes!
How is it that you know that?
Well, because I knew it's not Ray Bradbury because he's a science fiction author. And the Charles Dickens I knew didn't write it. And I just love that she said C after I shouted the answer out. Oh, so good. All right, one more question.
Okay.
We're 2 points.
Since Wally got a point, I'll let him choose math, precedence, or spelling.
Math. No.
Good.
Math.
Yes, you said math.
All right, math.
Okay, it's a word problem.
Great.
Okay, so listen carefully. Here we go. Your mom is baking a huge...
Your mom. Oh, sorry. I'm angry already. Okay.
Your mom is making a huge wedding cake for your sister and needs 32 cups of milk. So you run to the grocery store, but they only sell gallons of milk. How many gallons of milk should you buy to get 32
Samantha.
Cups of milk? Oh, Samantha, what do you think?
2 gallons.
That is correct!
No!
Yeah! How many cups are in a gallon then?
16
cups in one
gallon. Oh, I was going to be way short. I thought there were only 4 cups in a gallon then. So, well, Samantha, that was worth 2 points. So you have bested me today, and you are definitely smarter than a jock.
Yay!
I say definitely. I mean barely, honestly.
No, definitely.
Barely.
I just kind of pulled that out.
If you love the music on Way FM,
this is probably like my favorite.
But have heard a new song and want to know more, here's what's new on Way.
With What's on New on Way, we like to focus on new songs hitting the airwaves and talk about the story behind it. And this week, we have the band Elevation Worship. They became a big powerhouse in Christian music with hits like these. Oh, both of these are fantastic, and now they've got a new hit to add, and it's called Praise.
I really like this song. I didn't know it was Elevation Worship, full disclosure, but it's been stuck in my head. And what a great thing to get stuck in your head, too.
Right. It's got a great message to it. I love this song because, well, first, it's fun.
Yes.
Second, it's a good reminder to us that we have so many reasons to praise the Lord, despite the tough times that we might face. Well, here's Chris from Elevation to talk a bit more about it.
There's a great command in Psalm 150 that says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Now, I know we may not always feel like it. Some days it can be hard to find a reason to praise God. But if we simply start with this, "I've got breath in my lungs today." So that alone is reason enough for me to thank God, reason enough for me to praise Him. And our new song, Praise, is just that. It's one reason after another reason to praise the Lord.
So if you're in the midst of feeling in over your head, I hope you'll listen to Elevation Worship's new song, Praise, and be reminded that praise is your weapon, so why not start now?
There you go. And speaking of start now, let's do it. It's Elevation Worship, Praise, and that's what's new on Way.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.
Attention, please. Uplifting Way FM. Celebrities are just like you and me. except for the mansions, tigers, and sequins.
It's The Rock Report with Betty Rock.
Wally, when you hear the names Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, what do you think of?
Action heroes.
You do?
Yeah,
okay,
oh,
Gavin,
absolutely.
Would you say the same?
Yeah, Terminator, Rambo, like those guys. Yeah. Don't mess with them.
The Expendables, not such a great franchise because now they're old. Rambo earlier in the day, yeah.
Yeah. Well, these two manly men were asked if there was a Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Dedicated to action heroes. Ooh. And Arnold and Sylvester's faces already took up two of the spots. Mm-hmm. What other two action heroes would they add to the monument? And this is what they had to say.
Clint Eastwood was always my hero. He was one of those guys, just like right. Rich Park in bodybuilding, that spent time with me and talked to me. And the fourth guy you have to come up with.
I think it goes to Bruce. Yes, he's a very multifaceted guy. He can do drama and comedy, whatever. Like Die Hard's a classic, and those things don't go away.
Ah, Bruce Willis. That's an interesting choice. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I were to ask you two the same question, who would be on that Mount Rushmore?
I'm a big fan of Jackie Chan. Just from, you know, he's funny. Did all of his stunts. Like, he's just an expert at what he did. I loved his all of his movies.
Tough call, because you got guys like Jason Statham, is a new action
Modern.
Figure. The guy that played the new Bond, what was his name again?
Oh, Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig. He's good.
Dwayne Johnson's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, and he is The Rock. That's perfect for
you
him.
You haven't even mentioned
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson. I have a particular set of skills.
I think that this Mount Rushmore would need to be bigger than four heads.
Yeah, I think so too, actually. Because then you've got to get Ryan Reynolds on there somewhere just to pretty this thing up.
Oh my God.
Did you have to say that?
Yeah, that was weird.
How did we end up
what
there?
In the world?
Not 100% sure how we end up here. But you know what? That's your Rock Report for today. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. Lori, thank you for calling for such an important moment on the show. You know, we dive into some pretty heavy things sometimes, and this is no exception. The Mount Rushmore of action heroes would include Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. But then who else should we add to it? You have a position on this?
Chuck Norris.
Oh, duh.
Yes. You know what? I don't even think a rock could handle the face of Chuck Norris.
No. They would use Chuck Norris's face to chisel out his own face in a rock.
Yes. And then the rock would cry.
But I thought of Chuck Norris right off because, I mean, he was in just about every kind of action movie around
for a while. You are so right. Envision this. Chuck Norris is on Mount Rushmore action heroes version.
Sure.
There's an eagle, a bald eagle that lands, and its home is on top of his cowboy hat. Okay.
I love that.
And fireworks are constantly going off. And we hear Lee Greenwood singing God Bless the USA.
And I'm proud to be an American. Men who died, who gave that life to me.
Grown men
would cry. Oh, yeah, I would cry. And you don't need anyone else. He would have his own Mount Rushmore.
Yes, he would.
It would just be a solo, you know, thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Lori, we really appreciate you joining us for this extremely important conversation today. Thank you. And you actually elevated it. You did great.
No, thank you very much.
I think there's a stigma about men crying. Some people see as weak. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And I don't subscribe to that. I don't want to be bawling all the time, but I think there are moments when you should cry. A funeral, my friend Gabe cried like a baby. Mm-hmm. Betty hitting my sore toe with her luggage on a trip, cried like a baby. Acceptable. Very acceptable times. Slamming your hand in a car door, acceptable. Gavin, though, shared with us a story of a time he ugly cried. And what did you ugly cry to, sir?
The kids show Bluey.
Ah, there it is. I would love to make fun of you right now, big time. But I can't say that I've never cried at a Bluey episode.
Thank you. Acceptable.
I know, acceptable.
But the most recent time that I cried watching this show, they had released this new episode called The Sign. The family was going to be, you know, moving. They had this sign in the front yard that said this house is for sale, and it's all about the kids struggling with moving because they had to move cities and all this stuff. And for me, watching this episode, A, it's done well, the music's sad and all this stuff, but I moved every 2 or 3 years. And right. So I'm watching this. I'm watching these kids struggle.
It tapped into little Gavin.
I'm watching the parents struggle with, like, is this the right choice?
Right.
Which I thought was a cool thing to see. And by the end of this episode, just looking over at my wife, and just tears. Just
how did your wife handle this? Of you ugly crying in a blue episode? No, I'm just curious.
She was crying too.
Was she? Okay, yeah. But what did she say anything to you?
Crying from laughing so
hard. Yeah,
yeah, sure.
I have a wife and a daughter who will be watching a TV show, and we can all be crying, but then they'll look at me and both of them at the same time. Are you crying? Yeah, I'm crying. It should be fair game. It's a rough one here today. But then they, like, I think to protect themselves, they turn on me.
Which makes you cry even harder.
Yes, it does. It's very mean. Okay, so what was the last time to make Gavin feel bad or better? Sorry, not bad, but feel better that you ugly cried at something? Okay, now, not a funeral, because that's fair game for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's but
that's
like
understandable.
A Bluey episode, a Hallmark commercial, you know, something like that. Oh, my goodness gracious. The commercial they run at the movie theaters, it was around Christmas time for Chevy, I think it was.
Yeah.
Or yeah, I think it was Chevy. And the grandma
dementia.
Who has Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter takes her out and they drive around.
Yeah.
And the one with the dog that
we watched where he chases after the ambulance.
Yes,
and it's all about, like,
because his
heart
owner
transplants.
Had a heart transplant.
The last time I saw Betty cry.
Yeah, oh yeah, and that never happens.
That
girl.
Rough.
I think she had her tear ducts removed, honestly, or at least filled with cement, because she's a stone. That's why we call her Betty Rock, heart of stone. So 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. Make Gavin feel better with your last ugly cry. Guys, you're welcome to call as well on this one. Actually, that might even be better. So there you go, 855-33-WAY-FM. What's yours, Jamil?
So it wasn't just me as a man. It was our whole unit in Kuwait when we were deployed.
Oh, I got to know. What was it that brought an army unit to tears?
It was the last Avengers movie when Tony Stark died.
No way. All you guys sitting around watching the Avengers and you all start crying?
Oh, yeah. Tony Stark was dying and everybody was crying and I was crying. And I look over to my buddies, he's crying, and when the movie ends, everybody walks out, and it's like, oh my goodness, all these grown men were crying.
You guys all agree, we are never talking about this, you know? But you know what? Situations also dictate emotions, and so you guys watching this movie, you guys like it, Tony Stark, Iron Man, tough guy, you guys are all tough guys in a very difficult situation where life and death is very real. And so I could see why that got you guys, and certainly you're all armed. Who's going to make fun of you?
They're probably going to get mad at me if they're listening right now, but that's my story of men ugly crying.
Well, I love it, dude. I respect it, and I appreciate it, and we appreciate your service as well. So thank you for calling in and being on the show today, Jamil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Elle, what was the time that you ugly cried at something that you didn't see coming?
It was a commercial for Disney World, and it wasn't even sad. It was just something that was happy and magical that for some reason just got me right in the emotion.
Well, maybe because it was so happy. Maybe it was a happy cry. Because I got to tell you, I don't always know why women are crying. I looked at my daughter on the couch one time when she was probably 16, just sobbing. And I'm like, what is wrong, baby? And she's like, nothing. And I look at my wife for like, help me here. And my wife goes, she's fine. That just happens sometimes. I'm like, really? She's like, oh, yeah, it happens to me too. I'm like, okay, then. All right, Keely, you're up. What was that last time you ugly cried?
A few days ago, over an Instagram reel.
Okay, now what was the subject of the reel?
So this grandmother had a cat named Baby, and as the grandmother was dying, the kitty cat would not leave her side. And when she stopped eating, the kitty cat stopped eating. And when the grandmother passed away the next morning, the kitty cat had passed away, and they cremated them and buried them together.
No. Was this real, or was it a commercial for something?
No, it was real. Me and my 16-year-old son were ugly crying in the kitchen.
Yep. He's like, you didn't have to bring that up, Mom.
Yeah, Keely, I've actually seen this reel, and it was so sad. And then don't even try and read the comments, because comments of people being like, I know that they met one another on the bridge to heaven or something.
My gosh.
I'm like, ah!
Yeah. I think to protect and insulate my soul, I would have to make really bad comments about that to somehow make it okay and make me not cry. Because that sounds like it would
get
me.
That's what he does on a daily.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online for supporting what we do.